Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This podcast is brought to you by Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free, which is great. And there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, all in one, and it is the platform that I use to host and upload my podcast. They will distribute your podcast for you. It can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many, many more. You can also make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership, which is lit. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Thanks, Anchor.
Right, like bring in two extra people. Bring in the whole squad. I bring in the whole squad. I mean, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I really think once you're an adult, like if you're with an adult partner, like they're not gonna care because chances are they know that every person is different.
You just wanna penetrate. End of story.
You just wanna penetrate.
Hello, hello, friends. Welcome back to Acting My Age with me, Rohini Lise. Oh boy, the sex talk you never had, part three. It's here. It's here. So I'm really excited about this episode, you guys. This is the most highly requested episode ever. I literally get people DMing me almost every day saying, hey, when are you doing a part three? Like, I have so many questions to ask you. And it's my most popular episodes. They're the sex-related ones, which, of course, I mean, that just makes total sense. So I really liked having Catherine on the last one, and you guys definitely did too. So for this one, I wanted to have my twin flame, my soul sister, Kristen. She is one of my friends from New York, and I literally just feel this insane connection with her. From the first time we met, we just hit it off, like just one of those things where you know that you have like been friends with them in a past life, basically, is how I would describe it. We're super similar, like our charts are pretty similar. She just is amazing, and we went to Austin together recently, and we're going to Montana next month together. I just fucking love her. And we were texting about this new boy that she's been seeing and talking about I'll have to ask her if I can even talk about this. We're talking about how well endowed he was, basically. So that like prompted me to ask her, like, hey, do you want to do this sex talk with me? And so it is 2 p.m. my time, and it's 5 p.m. Kristen's time. She's in New York, and we wanted to have some drinks and just like have the conversation flow, especially since, you know, Kristen's not necessarily used to talking about sex like so openly on a public platform. Some alcohol probably would get things flowing a little better. So needless to say, I've just made a whiskey sour. It's 2 p.m. Kristen and I are about to FaceTime and just have the best conversation. I can't wait. I think it's going to be super fun. And I've been going through all your questions, and they're just some really good ones. So get ready for the sex talk you never had, part three. And if you haven't listened to the first two, you really should, because I got a lot of repeat questions. So make sure you've listened to those. And yeah, let's get into the episode. Thanks for tuning in. Hi, Kristen. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me here.
Oh my God, guys, this is so funny. We've been drinking already. We've been FaceTiming for a little while, and we both like almost chugged a full whiskey sour.
Finished a bottle or two.
Yeah, I know. Except your time, it actually makes sense because it's like almost six there. In my time, it's literally two.
Right. It's a little more appropriate over here, but whatever. It's anything fine. Goes.
Anything goes when Kristen and Heen are together.
That's true.
Kiki and Heen. Okay, cute. So I'm really excited to have you on because you're my like fucking soul sister, twin flame, and our dialogue is unmatched. Like,
oh my gosh, I can't believe we're about to release this to the public. I mean, every time we're together, we're like, someone needs to record us. This is iconic.
Where's our reality show? Exactly. Literally, oh man, I've never had like dialogue like this with any of my other friends. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting. In a good way, honestly. I'm like, how many times can I drop the F-bomb? Is that...
No. Seriously, she texted me. She's like, how many times can I say motherfucker on your podcast? I was like, as many times as you fucking want, bitch.
It's just why we work. We're on the same page. I know.
Seriously. Okay, so we're already... I mean, I'm a little tipsy. I didn't really eat lunch. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a little tipsy. Same. Oh, I sure am. I don't know. I started about an hour ago, so we'll see.
Oh, shit. You're ahead of me. Okay, so let's give a little background for the podcast listeners. We met through Elena Tabor, YouTuber. You guys probably know her. We met at
an indoor pool party in the dead of winter.
Like, seriously, in Williamsburg. It was like Babe Wines, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Fat Jewish.
The Fat Jewish was there. Fat Diplo. Jewish, yeah. It was wild.
One of the most bizarre things I've ever done in New York. Like, it just was, I don't know, so random, but it was really fun. And I was just dancing my ass off, like, super sweaty, literally going ham to Diplo. And then
I've never gone that hard during the day.
I know, right? And then, oh my God, it was such a story. So, yeah, Elena brought you, and I was super, because I went to the event by myself, and I was like, oh my God, this is not an event you want to go to by yourself. Like, what the fuck? And so Elena came. What the fuck am I doing? I just started chugging rosé, and I hate rosé, so that's how you know it's bad. And then you came, and I don't even know. We literally hit it off, and then that night, I almost died.
We didn't even, like, talk. Well, maybe we did. We obviously introduced ourselves, but then we just started drinking and dancing, and it was like, I don't
just
know.
Started vibing.
Just happened. Yeah, we were vibing.
It was a natural connection, meant to be.
Really was.
And then that night, because we had been drinking all day, it was a day party. Like, we'd been drinking all fucking day. And then we wanted to go out. Our, like, drunk minds were like, we should go clubbing tonight.
We wanted to just keep it rolling through the night. No, no.
And everyone had to go home to, like, change and get ready. And then, of course, when you're home, that's when you, like, start to get sober. And then, I don't know what, I drank too many canned bottles of wine, and I didn't eat enough. And then we went out to dinner at that, like, really trendy place. What's it called?
Lucien.
Yeah, every bitch goes there, I swear to God. That was my first time going there.
The food's not great, but it's a scene.
It's a scene.
It is.
And basically, I started to pass out, and I never
pass out.
I never do that. Like, fainting is not a normal thing for me. And I just was, we were waiting for a table for so long, standing up, like, in this hot ass, sweaty, small restaurant with people jam packed everywhere.
I go full mom mode.
Yeah, I literally go up to the bartender, like, can I have some water? And he gives me the dirtiest look. I'm like, I'm literally about to pass out. Like, my
He's
eyes
like,
are, like,
we don't serve water here, bitch. What kind of alcoholic beverage do you want?
You need to pay for this sparkling water. $7. And I literally was, like, clutching the counter, like, I'm about to go down.
Oh, my God.
You don't understand.
I felt so bad. I, like, didn't know you that well. So I was like, what is my role here?
So Kristen literally jumped in. Saved the day, ran to the bodega, got me, like, three kinds of Gatorade. Like, I don't even know what else he got me. He literally jumped in, and it was just, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm usually that person for other people. So meeting someone that was going to do that for me, even though I barely fucking knew them, I was like, am I in love with you? it was so
love
nice. And then after that, the rest was history.
Seriously, it's like we've known each other for 100 years.
That's what I was saying in the intro. Mm-hmm. I was like, literally, I know for sure we've known each other in a past life because...
For sure.
It just has to happen that way.
I agree.
So, yeah, that was our friendship beginning, and we had a lot of good nights, a lot of dancing, a lot of drinking.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of expensive cocktails.
A lot of expensive cocktails, food, outings. Sage is not so happy about that.
the bill for Austin, I was like, babe, just know this is going to be an expensive one.
We love just, Kristen. Just look away. Just
don't look at the bill. Yeah. Don't look at the credit card statements. So yeah, we had a great time in Austin. And then you came to visit here, which was so fun. You literally fit right into the family. Everyone talks about you. They're like, we love Kristen so much.
I'm obsessed with the fam.
Yep. So yeah.
That was my initiation trip. We
fucking love Kristen, and I'm excited to talk about sex.
Oh my gosh. All right, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. So there's a lot of questions, like, of course, these episodes I get the most questions from because, you know, I don't think people really talk about sex enough, like, openly. There isn't that many resources online, or maybe you even feel weird, like, looking them up or whatever it is. So there's always a shit ton of questions, and we won't be able to get to all of them, but we're going to try to do our best. So let's just kick it off. Okay, this one is a pretty straightforward answer. I already read Kristen this one, but it made me like, what's that emoji? The emoji with like the big, like watery eyes. It's like very wholesome question. So
little sappy eyes.
Yeah, sappy eyes. Okay, so the question is, hi Heaney, I love your podcast and have binged it these last few days. Your content is so beautiful and your aesthetic is flawless. My question for this podcast is if sex feels like when the doctor does a pap smear. You know how they insert the speculum. I'm a virgin and I just had one done and it felt very uncomfortable. Just curious if that's what it feels like because I couldn't deal. Thanks for your advice. Okay.
Oh my God.
No.
No. No. No. No. No. No. No.
It does not feel like that.
That is a cold, like
turkey baster.
Turkey baster.
Not even.
The setting. The all of it, the fucking mechanism,
the metal,
the like coldness, the weirdness. The
no, not for a second. It's, yeah, pep smears are always uncomfortable. It's just the weirdest thing. It's literally like the things that jack up a car, like to change the tire.
That's probably one of the worst experiences versus sex, which is supposed to be one of the most, like, invigorating, exciting experiences. So I can't even pick two opposites to choose from.
Yes.
Like
opposite sides of the spectrum.
Opposite ends of the spectrum for
sure. Pap smear and some good dick.
Oh my gosh. Some good dick. There's nothing better, honestly.
There's nothing better.
And there's nothing worse than a pap smear in the doctor's office.
Everyone hates it. Like literally women who are like 50, 60, they're like, fucking pap smears. Everyone hates pap smear.
Not the fucking pap smear again.
So yeah, no, it doesn't feel like that. It's definitely not. I mean, the first time you have sex, it's probably going to be a little uncomfortable or painful, right? Maybe.
First time, never great. Just kind of go into it, great. Preparing for some slight uncomfortability, but just know it gets better. It doesn't matter if it's the same person, a different person, it will get better. You just have to kind of break through that initial weirdness of your, like, you know, you're new to it, so you're working through those insecurities and like discovering what this even means, and then, you know, just having something up inside of you, it takes a second to get used to. So just know it gets better, and it gets a lot better, let me tell you.
Oh honey, does it get better?
Oh honey, does it get good?
Oh boy. Wait, actually, I don't know your, who'd you, or what was your virginity story?
Oh gosh. I mean, I was dating my boyfriend of 7 years. I was probably 16 or so. And it was very simple. I mean, we were dating for like 3 or 4 months. We were like, all right, it's time to do the deed. And it happened. It wasn't great. It was so uncomfortable just because I was so new to the whole situation, and so was he. So I was like, all right, let's just...
Oh, was it his first time too?
Yeah. Aww. Which made it a lot better for me to go into it knowing he was exploring this new kind of thing as well. So that made it a lot more comfortable for me. But still, even then, it was like, what are we even doing? Like, we're kids. We're just trying to work through this little...
Exactly. That's how I look back, like, the guy that I lost my virginity with, too, whatever. And the like, couple months we were having sex, I look back and I'm like, we were kids. We had no business doing that. Like,
no
what
business.
The fuck?
I mean, so, after a while, we made it work, and it was great. And,
yeah,
you know, but it's never good at first.
It's never, it's, the first time's just a little weird. Also, because it's such a thing, like, all the movies, everyone's like, gonna lose your virginity, like, gonna pop your cherry, I'm saving it till prom night, like, whatever, all those things in the movies, like, it gets so overhyped that you're in your head, like, oh my god, but in reality, it's, in my opinion, it's not that big of a deal. Obviously, like, people have different religious, like, beliefs on sex, but in my opinion,
totally,
it's just something I think to get over
it's
with.
It's a natural part of, like, getting older and growing into yourself and becoming kind of, like, a confident woman is,
yeah,
exploring your sexuality. And I had a hard time with that growing up because I was in a really conservative Christian family who kind of decided that that wasn't a part of, you know, your life until you're married and you're committed to someone. But I kind of decided on my own that that was something I wanted to explore earlier on. And I thought it was kind of an important part of becoming a woman on my own and just, I don't know, having different experiences.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Good for you.
I think it's an important part of, like, being comfortable with yourself and your body and,
yeah,
I don't know, gives you a sense of confidence that you otherwise, I don't think, would have. And of course, each to their own. Everybody has their own idea of what it means to them and how comfortable it makes them. So everyone has their own
Everyone's
story.
Everyone's on their own journey. Exactly.
Exactly.
But I do agree, like, a lot of the questions that I got, I'm not going to lie, like, 80% of them were all based around, like, confidence in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of questions about that. So we'll definitely get to that more because I think it's just so important. I just wanted to start with some, like, easier, more straightforward questions. So also, everyone was asking about shaving and, like, grooming. I don't know. I guess I remember middle school, high school. It was a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
The guys, because all they watched is, like, you know, top five hits on Pornhub or whatever. So they're like, ew, like, she has a bush. Like, that's fucking disgusting. So I just remember it being, like, such a thing, like, bald eagle. That was, like, a term, like, you have to really be shaved and keep the coochie clean or whatever. I know. It's so crazy. Keep the cooch clean. But as I've gotten older and with the same person forever, I'm like, doesn't apply as much. But anyway, so the question is, hey, Heaney, I love your podcast and it's literally the best part of my day when I listen. Oh, anywho, my question, shaving, like, is it really that big of a deal if you don't? I don't know. What do you think?
I think that, you know, I wax. So I'm like, if I shave, it's just dramatic. It's itchy. It's, it's ugly. I'm going in every 4 weeks and I'm letting whoever it is take care of it down there. But it's painful as fuck. It's fucking terrible. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm either waxing or I'm lasering. And I think they're similar in terms of, like, price point and how often you have to go in. But I don't know. I've just never been a shave girl. I think it doesn't end well for me. And I have thick hair. I'm, like, Spanish. So I think that that doesn't help me.
A lot going on
down there. A lot going on down there. So, but I don't think men care. I think if you're clean, if you, like, are freshly showered or whatever it is, and you just, like, smell normal, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I really think once you're an adult, like, if you're with an adult partner, like, they're not going to care because chances are they know that every person is different. And, like, I know plenty of people who don't shave at all. Like, they just let it go completely natural. And some guys really like that. Like, some guys like the natural look. Like, I've heard guys, I don't even know where I heard this from, but they're like, if they're shaved, they look like a prepubescent girl to me. Like, it's, like, gross if they have no hair.
Because
it's, like, looks too young, so they like a little hair to, like, look like a woman.
Shoot.
So I really, or a grown woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think it. I mean, I understand, like, if you haven't had sex. Also, if you said you're 15, or no, you're 19. Oh wait, this is a different question. Fuck me. Anyway, if you're in middle school, high school, whatever it is, it seems like a big deal, and maybe those douchey guys will make it a big deal. But, like, once you're an adult, I don't think whatever floats your boat. Seriously.
I would work with whatever's natural for you. Like, if you have super thick hair and it's tough to get to a waxer and you're trying to shave but it's not working, like, just trim it and make sure it's, like, clean and groomed and just go with it because
rock
that's your natural kind of look and I don't know. It's hard to to work against that stuff.
It is. I just, personally, I just shave because my hair is, like, not that big of a problem for me. We were talking about this earlier. Like, I don't know. Because I've definitely seen my friends who have, like, really bad razor bump and it, like, their hair goes, I don't know, it's just more of a thing to manage. And mine's not that big of a deal. So I just kind of let it grow out, like, a ways, and then I'll shave it. And that's meh. But if I grow it out, like, it's not a big deal. Like, Sage doesn't fucking care. He just wants to get laid. He doesn't care.
Exactly. I think at the end of the day, as long as you're clean and somewhat groomed, guys don't give a shit what's going on down there. They just want to, you know.
They just want to penetrate.
You just want to penetrate. End of story.
You just want to penetrate. Next question. Okay, this one was the juicy one. Okay, so she says, okay, I'm just going to hop right into my situation. My boyfriend and I have been dating since I was 15. I'm now 19. He was my first. We now live together, and I have a full 4 years of lying about orgasming. It started because I just wanted to make him feel good about himself, but eventually it just got too far, and I couldn't tell him that he's never made me finish. My sex drive is usually pretty decent, but I never actually want to have sex because it doesn't do anything for me. At this point, it just kind of feels like a chore, and I don't have fun when we have sex. I don't know how to tell him or what to do because this whole time he has thought that it's been doing the trick, but really it hasn't. P.S. I know I let it get way too far, but I mean, what can you do?
Wow, that is a heavy one. I'd love to get into that. Yeah,
I know. That's a good one. Let's dive in there.
I don't know. I mean, I think this is a problem for a lot of girls that they kind of feel like they need to give that kind of, I don't know what it is. They just
validation.
Need to validation to the guy, and it makes just everything so much easier. We're kind of like, all right, as long as you're finished and you're happy, like, let's just get this thing over with. But I think it's important if you love the guy and if everything else kind of aligns in your relationship. You've been with him 4 years. That's a long time. So I think having a conversation about what might feel better or maybe some suggestions for him to try.
Yeah.
And you guys can kind of experiment together. I think at first he might be a little bit like, whoa, oh, shit. I thought I was doing the right thing for this whole time. I thought I was, like, pleasuring you. But at the end of the day, I think it might really be a great thing for your relationship to have that conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
And explore things that make you feel good together. I think it'll bring you a lot closer. And at the end of the day, like, you want to know for yourself what suggestions you can give to the other person to make you feel good and pleasure you. So.
Oh my God. Literally could not have said it better myself. Fuck. Literally so good. But also, like, I mean, do you want to go through four more years of, like, not coming and he's coming every single fucking time? Like, I understand now you're like, uh-oh, because it is kind of awkward. Like, 4 years, you've been in it saying that you're, you know, he's been getting it done, but he really hasn't. But I think, like Kristen said, I think you could suggest it as, like, a new thing. Like, you could say, like, oh, I read this thing, or I saw this thing, or I watched this thing. Like, let's try this, or let's try this, or I just want to try something new. Like, suggesting it as something new and exciting rather than just being like, hey, buddy, by the way, you haven't made me come in the last 4 years. Ha ha.
Exactly. You don't have to be so blunt about it. Maybe just, like, guide his hand or whatever it is into, like, a new position that you kind of, like, are interested to explore and see how that works out. And then just continue kind of trying new different things that might end in an orgasm for you, because it's just as much about you as it is him. And 4 years of that.
Seriously. Exactly. No. Repeat that shit. Amen. It's just as much about you as him. Also,
absolutely.
You said, like, having sex doesn't really do anything for you, which I think, like, is slightly concerning, honestly, because it's like, you know, like we've been saying, it's not just about him. Like, it's about you too. And if you're not enjoying it at all, then that's a problem, you know?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know exactly. I would love to know more about that. Like, what is it? Is it painful, or are you just uncomfortable with yourself?
It.
Are you kind of, like, shy with your body, or what is aiding to that? Because that's not good. You gotta, you want to enjoy it.
Also,
go ahead.
The first thing for getting in touch with your sexuality is honestly pleasuring yourself. So if you haven't explored that, that definitely could like lead to a lot of things. And once you do that, then you'll know like what critiques to give him or like where to guide him or to ask for what you want. So I definitely think it just revolves around like one, knowing that you deserve to like get off just as much as he does. And like two, just knowing what you want and like not being scared to ask for it, because life is too short to not have good sex.
Put that up on my kitchen wall. That is amazing.
Life is too short. It's too short. Honestly.
You got to know your body before you're able to kind of like interpret that and relay that into relationships. You have to know yourself. And that goes for anything, sex or just simple relationship. Just life. Yeah, just life. So yeah. I would start there. In the comfort of your own home, by yourself, just like, you know, figure out what that means for you.
Yeah, in the shower, because they live together, like get a little, have some time in the shower. That's always good.
That's a good idea. I never thought about that. The shower, the removable shower head situation.
Oh, if you got that was that, my first love.
I didn't realize that was a thing until a few months ago, and then...
You're kidding me.
No, I know.
Girl.
And I'd always heard people talk about it and how good it was. And, like, you got to get on this whole shower head situation. And, you know, I don't have one in my home, but my parents did. And I was like, all right, guys, I'll see you in a few hours.
Oh, let me get back to you.
I hope they're not listening to this. They're going to be like, oh, shit.
Honestly, yeah, that was my first, like, my parents growing up had a shower head. That was my first introduction, so.
That was your first introduction.
Right now I keep my little Maud vibrator, which if you haven't listened to the first episode of this sex talk you never had, you have to listen to that because I recommend, like, vibrators and different things. But the Maud vibrator just stays in my shower. It stays in there, and I can have some nice alone time. So make sure you're getting that alone time and getting to know yourself. You have to.
That's the first step.
Okay. This next one. I'm really curious to hear your opinion on this, Kristen. So, okay. Hey, Rohini. I'd love to hear your thoughts and experiences with threesomes. I want to have one with my boyfriend so bad and don't even necessarily want to fool around with the girl as much as I'd want him to, because I'm not the jealous type and I kind of think it's a turn on to see him working his magic on another girl, lol. Would love to know what you think about it. My boyfriend doesn't want one because he's afraid that me being bisexual will come between us and thinks I'd fall for the girl, which I totally don't agree on. XO.
Wow. Okay. Let's get into it. I mean,
I've never had a threesome. I haven't
either, no, but I've always thought it was the hottest thing, and I think that if you're thinking about it and if you think that that might be something that would be good for your relationship and it's something you're excited to explore, go for it. But I think that you need to take some time to understand what you're comfortable with, what you're not comfortable with, especially when you're in a relationship, because it can kind of, it's an exciting thought. But once you get there, the reality hits and, you know, there's another girl involved or guy or whatever it may be. And you need to be prepared for the emotional part of it, which is the last thing you're worried about. But at the same time, like after it's all said and done, how are you going to be feeling? And are you going to be just as excited and confident in your relationship? Or are you going to be feeling kind of like regretful because you were just hype on the whole sexual aspect?
And she said her boyfriend is the one that's like in feeling a little more insecure because she's bisexual. So that's a whole nother thing. Like if he's not feeling comfortable, then that's like, you're going to have to figure that out, because it's got to be like both parties got to want to. I mean, could you like, you know, have a guy involved too? Like make it more even? I don't know.
Like bring in... two extra people bring in the whole squad. I'm bringing the whole squad. I mean, it's not a bad idea. I think if you're in a relationship and you're considering those things, you got to have the conversations beforehand for sure.
Yeah, totally.
And you kind of just take the time to discover what that means for you and him and make sure you're on the same page before you go into it. But I think it's exciting. I'm into it. I think it can be really fun.
Like theoretically, though.
theoretically, you got to be careful who you're, you know, bringing into the mix. Don't ever go for a friend. Bad call. Yeah. You got to get someone, you know, I don't know, go on a dating app. Find someone neutral that's, you know, also hot.
Yeah.
But neutral.
For both of you. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Go to a party, kind of, you know, scout some people out.
See, that's the thing. Like, in the movies, like, it just, how do you even do that? It seems way more realistic in the movies. How do you even do that?
You just
like, how are you scouting out someone? Because I've talked about this in the last episode, and Catherine and I talked about it. Like, I like the concept. It sounds super hot. But I'm kind of, like, on the same bandwagon as this guy in this story. Like, I know it's not the case. Like, I don't think that'd be the reality. But it's just something, like, I'd have to get over the mental hurdle of being like, oh, Sage is gonna think about that girl. Like, after it's done, Sage is gonna think about how hot that girl was. And that, like, freaks me out.
Right.
Even though we're literally married. So it's fine. But that's just something I would have to get over. And that's why when I've talked about it in the past, I'm like, I feel like adding more people to the scenario, like making it a little more, it's just like a group thing. It's not so focused on like introducing one person. So
definitely. And who you decide to bring into that equation is really important. Like, how connected are you to this person? And I think that has a lot to do with it.
Are you going to see them at the grocery store once a week?
Exactly. Like, do they know? Is it a friend of a friend kind of situation? Mm-hmm. Or did you meet them on Hinge and it's kind of totally at random, which I would prefer. Yeah. So.
Yeah, same. I think we all are intrigued, or most of us are intrigued by the top, or like the idea of it, because it's kind of hot. It's really hot. But
it's super hot.
I don't know. I guess, our advice is just to, you need to have that open conversation and
communication find out a way that key.
Communication is always key. All the time. We're doing like finger guns.
TikTok
we're like,
click. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't even know what you call this. Just like a...
Yeah. I don't fucking know.
We're so weird.
Finger guns. I know. But yeah, I would like to hear how this goes, honestly. So
I
if
would
you have
too.
Any updates,
keep us updated.
Please let us know. And I think, like, I mean, just it's him coming from a place of, like, insecurity, which is totally normal. But like you said, you literally want, it would turn you on to see him working his magic on another girl. Like, that's hot. Just reading that is hot. So, like, totally. I think it could go very well for you guys. I just, keep us updated.
I think so, too. And also, make sure you're validating your partner and make sure you're extra attentive to them and making sure their needs are met before anyone else's, of course. But I think that will really help for it to be a successful mission. But let us know, because that is exciting.
I know. Please keep us updated. Okay, this one. Okay, it's cute. Hi, Heaney. Me and my boyfriend have been dating for a while, and I will preface this question by saying that the sex has always been amazing, in all caps. With that being said, he's super kinky, and I am too. I just haven't really found out my preferred kinks, but I'm honestly open to anything, lol. Sometimes I find myself a bit insecure when it comes to our sex life because he is so experienced and has done a lot of crazy kinky things, in all caps, with girls that he's told me about. I've had my fair share of sexual experiences and thought I was pretty crazy until I met this boy. I want to surprise him the next time he comes and visits me. We are long distance, crying face. But I'm not quite sure what to do. I know he likes to be dominated, and I can get down with that. But IDK, where to even begin? We haven't really done anything crazy besides the usual hair pulling, choking, and occasional slapping winky face. But I just want to do something that will make him go crazy. Any suggestions on where to start or what to do to drive him wild? I love you so much, Rohini, and I especially love your sex talk podcast. You're like the big sister I never had. Love you. Aww.
Oh my gosh. Ooh. That is juicy. Okay.
I know. I'm like, let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
Do you have any history with kinky things?
I don't know. First off, I think it's really cool that you're open to whatever and kind of exploring all of those kinks.
And doing it together. That's so fun.
Yeah, doing it together. I think also another thing about long distance relationships is like you haven't seen the person and it's automatically your sexual drive is like heightened when you see each other. You're
supercharged.
Just like, let's get on it. Yeah, supercharged, which is exciting. And the one part of long distance that you should look forward to and take advantage of, because there's so many shitty aspects of long distance relationships. So that's cool. But I don't know. I think something that is awesome about like domination is just being tied up. Like, cause you don't have control over anything. You're kind of like letting, I don't know. There's like that urge
you don't know.
Exactly. So I would consider a little handcuff situation, a little rope situation. I don't know. Oh, fuck.
I need to hear this story. What's your experience here, ma'am?
No, I mean, I'm always the one that's typically, you know, dominated.
I'm not the dominating type. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I'll be on top every once in a while, and that's as dominant as I'll get, but I enjoy being, like, I enjoy the whole, you know, submissive, dominant kind of situation.
Yeah, me too. It's hot.
Yeah, it's hot. And sometimes, like, I'll have my hands, he'll, like, hold my hands kind of by my side when he's, like, inside of me, and it's hot because I can't, like, move. I can't do anything, and that restriction kind of, I don't know.
Just it's hot.
It's hot. Yeah, exactly. It does something.
That's what I was going to say. Like, the funnest things, I guess, we haven't really gone that kinky besides, like, what you said, hair pulling, choking, slapping, whatever. But when we were trying to go crazy, I've told this story before, but before Sage went to college, I was like, I need to try everything with this guy so he has something to remember me by. Like, he's going to go to college and there's going to be all these hoes. Like, I need to do something that he'll remember. So, I literally was like wanting to try everything that summer before he left. But like handcuffs and being blindfolded and tied up at the same time is nuts because you don't know when it's coming and you can't move. So it's just like, whoa, what the fuck? It's hot. So definitely. And especially if he likes to be dominated, like you could literally say, like, put a blindfold on, like get naked, sit on the bed or sit on a chair or whatever. And like, just wait or something.
Your words, I think, will facilitate that a lot too. Just be a little sassy, be a little aggressive and don't feel bad about, you know, going a little harder than you otherwise would. I think he'll like it if he's into that.
And long distance too, like you said, that long adds distance, just so much.
Leave your mark, so much, sister.
Leave your mark. Yes, that's send going in the show notes.
On a good note, honey, get it done.
Yes, I'm trying to think what else. Like, I don't know. Like, people always like to do role play, but I've never done that. Or like getting toys that both of you could like. Like one of my friends got like a dick ring, like a vibrating like dick ring that goes on the bottom.
Shit, what do you mean?
I don't know. I know that it like goes over, it's like a con, like the condom like lip or whatever, right? But it's just like a dick ring that, and it vibrates, and it sits at the bottom of his like dick.
But do you use it with your hand, or is it just...
No, it just sits, and then like while you're riding him or while it's going or whatever, it just... I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's a plethora of toys out there. I would explore that. I think that's exciting. Yeah,
but honestly, I think that could be hot. Like, get a hot ass outfit, like tell him to blindfold himself and like sit and wait in the room, and then just be like, who's your fucking daddy, bitch? Like, walk in.
Exactly. Just own that shit. And
own that shit.
Totally. I think that's really hot. Just aggressive confidence.
Mm-hmm. Aggressive confidence. And also, you guys could watch porn together too and be like, oh, like look in all the, I don't know, different categories, and like, ooh, let's try that. Ooh, let's try that. Because while you're together, like, I know whenever Sage and I would be together after long distance, we would have sex so much. Like, just all the time. So, just walk home and be like, let's do this. Let's do this. Exactly. Yeah, so definitely check that out. But, again, excited for you. Sounds
really
exciting.
Really excited.
Sounds
for
fun.
You. That's going to be a good time.
Okay, this one is, made me giggle. Hi, Rohini. I have a couple of sex-related questions. I'm very curious to know what you think and get your advice. I've never had sex, but I'm so curious about it. Aren't we all? Anyway, I apologize if some of my questions may be too upfront or just TMI. But I figured I might just give it a shot, and who else to ask but you, Rohini, the expert, or the sexpert.
Oh my gosh, so cute.
Lol, love that I'm apparently the sexpert. I hope to live up to that title one day. Okay, question number one.
When a guy pulls out in time, doesn't it get messy? Doesn't his love juice get everywhere? Or is there like a practical process where you avoid the cleanup? I just love this.
It's God, I love this.
So Virgo, so Capricorn.
So like Virgo, like clean it up, organize. We want it to be like right and tight. I'm a Virgo. I don't want a mess. Like it's not hot unless it's like clean and organized.
Think about how many times she said clean when we were talking about shaving. Like she's a Virgo. She's such a Virgo.
This girl's a Virgo.
It really depends on your situation. Like my friend, I think I can tell. I don't think she'll mind. She talked about sex whole episode. Catherine, I think she might have even talked about an episode, but she doesn't like to swallow or anything. Like she thinks it's gross. So she always would like, he'd like come in her mouth or whatever. And then she'd spit it out and then like drink water. Like she just didn't want to do the whole swallowing process. So actually though, the cleanest way is just to swallow. That's like the least mess.
I'm good for a swallow because it's just like black out for 4 seconds and it's over. Get it done. And you know, they're happy. You're happy. It's over. Drink water afterwards.
Just drink water. Yeah, exactly.
Eat a snack. Eat a cookie. Water. I don't know. Cleanse the palate.
I don't think any like just normal guy or normal situation, they're not going to expect that it tastes like fucking like a Cinnabon cinnamon roll. Like they know it doesn't taste like the most delicious liquid you ever. Like you just swallow, you do a little, you know, hot eye contact, whatever. You walk over, wipe your mouth, drink some water, and like that's just done. That's the cleanest way. But I would say the majority of what, you know, we do is you just like comes on my chest or back or whatever and then grab some undies or towel or whatever it is, wipe it off, and then it's really not that bad. Like, it's not a big deal. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's not like an explosion. Like, it's like...
No. No, it's somewhat, you know, every once in a while it'll, like, get a little crazy. It just depends. But always have something on standby. Have a towel nearby. Yeah. Or, like, honestly, sometimes the guy's underwear, I'll just, like, use that.
Underwear, yeah.
Wipe it off. Just whatever. At that point, like... He's probably not even paying attention.
He's blacked out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Whatever you must do, if you gotta get up and run to the bathroom and take care of it, do it. But yeah. I think it's hot to come on someone's stomach, or if you're like, come on my boobs, or whatever it is.
Yeah, it's hot. And those are the things, like, along with, like, shaving, like, those little logistics, like, don't really matter once you're, like, really comfortable with sex, or once you've been with someone for a while, or any of the above, like, those don't really matter. You don't really notice them. But before you've had sex, like, of course, those are the things you think of that you're like, oh my God, like the logistics are stressful. But
totally.
Yeah.
It'll play out a lot more naturally once you're there in the moment. Don't stress over those things.
Her second question is, I'm insecure about my body. I'm a curvy girl with lots of stretch marks. I also have dark inner thighs and a dark cooch as well. I also feel like my vagina has such a weird shape and size. I guess I'm really nervous that when I do have sex, my partner will be disgusted by my body, as I frequently am when I stare at myself for too long. Any advice here, please? Have you ever felt insecure about your private parts? How have you gotten over that? LOL. Anyway, I love your podcast. I feel so happy and giggle so much as I listen to it. Thanks for all the effort you put into it. Okay. Yes, I definitely have. Have you? Yes. Okay, the last episode, Kath and I had a whole like section on this because... I don't know if this happened at your middle school, Kristen, but guys like were discovering vaginas, and they were discovering that there's like vaginas that are a little more outy and a little more inny, and it was like a whole thing, and it was just being spread around like, oh, she has a, they were calling it wizard sleeve. If you had a vagina that's not like, they're like, Rohini has a wizard sleeve, she has a wizard sleeve, she has a wizard sleeve. My fucking girlfriends were like snitching on me, like, Rohini has like an outy vagina, whatever. And at the time, I was devastated. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I'm disgusting. Like, I need to get surgery. Like, it was so bad.
Middle school is so fucked up. If I could go back and just black out the entire middle school experience, I would. Because no one knows what the fuck they're talking about.
No.
Don't ever refer anything in your adulthood to middle school, because we're just fucking idiots.
Yeah, exactly. If I could just black out, that's the perfect
let's just black that entire experience out. Anyways,
but yeah, I definitely have had insecurities. Like, you see different things in porn or whatever and you're like, oh my God, like mine doesn't look like that. But there are so many fucking people in this world. I don't even know how many. 10 billion, I don't know, 7 billion, I'm not sure. But
the likelihood, like, everyone's different. Your body's different. You're different. Your vagina's different. Your boobs are different. Like, that's just exactly. The human experience. Everybody's different.
Embrace what you have. Own it. And own your mm-hmm. natural self and your body and whatever is going to happen. Your stretch marks, your color, whatever it is. I mean, like you said, there's so many different fucking vaginas and bodies and tits out there that it's no one's mm-hmm. perfect. Everyone has their quirks. And as long as you're confident in yourself, and I look at my vagina every once in a while, I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible. I can't believe I'm allowing men to look at this thing. Like,
I know.
It's not cute.
When I look at it, I'm like, ugh.
It's not cute. It's gross. It's weird. It's, you got the flaps and the hair and the whatever it is.
There's too much going on.
There's
I'm
so
like,
much
just
going
get
on,
it out
but
of
it's
my
natural.
Sight.
It's normal. It's your body.
Exactly.
And it's what, you know, you're given, and you got to just own it. Mm-hmm. And guys love when you're just so confident about it.
Exactly. And they're not thinking about any of those insecurities. They're literally so excited to be there.
Exactly. Like- yeah. If you're down and you're like, I'm the hottest thing there ever was and you've ever seen. So, you know, you're either in or you're out, and that's
eat this
kind
pussy.
Of it. Eat this pussy and that's
eat
it.
Eat this fucking pussy. Yeah, exactly. But it's definitely very normal to have insecurities. I think every girl, every person, every human has had insecurities about that area. Just because it, I don't know, there's so much pressure. It's so, like, unspoken about. But then everyone always, I don't know. There's just a lot of shit going on. But
for sure.
I think, as long as you own it and you get, it's like you have to work on yourself first in that instance. Like, you have to work on owning it, like you said. Getting comfortable with it and just accepting that everyone's different. And literally, I promise you, like, I was so nervous about my vagina. I was like, oh, it's so ugly, blah, blah, blah. It doesn't look like Catherine's, because hers was my example of, like, she literally has a porn star vagina. We talked about this in the last episode.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
I was so nervous, whatever. And then when I got with Sage, like, a real king who's gonna fucking treat me right or whatever, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, none of that matters. They do not care. It's literally could not be, the importance of sex, like, goes completely the opposite of, like, your physical parts. It's like mm-hmm. the connection
for sure,
the fucking orgasm, the whatever it is. Like, it doesn't matter what the parts look like, as long as they're doing their thing.
The more confident you are, the better the sex. That's just
exactly
it doesn't matter
it's
who
just
it is
the tea.
Doesn't matter what the other half is doing, as long as you're excited about your body and you're mm-hmm. feeling good, the better the sex is gonna be. So.
Exactly, and that's a lot of times why, like, tipsy sex, drunk sex can be like, that's
also
why people talk about it all the time, because your boundaries are down, or not your boundaries, you're like your wall or whatever. You're just way more confident. You're not overthinking things as much.
Exactly, I agree.
But. We feel you, girl. You
we
got this.
We feel you, girl.
You're
yes.
a hot-ass bitch.
I'm sure you're so hot, and I have mm-hmm. all the same thoughts every single day, and I think we all can relate with that, and just go for it. Get out there. I'm sure there's going to be a man who comes around and thinks you're the sexiest thing on earth, so
literally just play wet-ass pussy and just, like,
exactly.
twerk to yourself in the mirror.
Exactly.
Well, this wet ass pussy. Get a bucket.
I wish
and
I could do that. I might try that dance out. It's, like, so good, so hot. Probably
you have
can't
to do
twerk
it.
Like
it's
that.
So fun. I did it in the garage. Did you see that?
Oh my God, I did. And that was, like, early WAP stages. Like, I hadn't seen any other TikToks, and that was
yeah,
the first
was
one.
Like, what is she doing?
Excuse me. Did you create this dance, or where is this coming from? That was.
Grace messaged me. She was like, "Did you make this up?" I was like, "What?
I
no.
saw that. What? Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Oh my God, so funny." Okay, next question. Hi, this is embarrassing for me, so please keep me anon, LOL. But I just feel like such a weirdo since I'm 24 and I've still never had sex. Is this weird? Normal? I don't know. And then what happens when it does come down to it and I'm in that moment? What do I say to the guy? How do I say it? I silently freak out about this every single day, LOL. I said it last time, I'll say it again. Everyone's on their fucking own journey, and, like, you're in your own right timing. It's gonna happen when it needs to happen. Like, it's just sex. It's really, like, when you lose your virginity is not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of life.
I agree. Yeah, don't hype it up to be something that it's not. I don't know. Exactly. Everyone has their own idea of what sex means for them. And a lot of the times it's kind of the end all be all. We're going to save this for marriage. It's the most like special thing there is. And that's great too. And you know, there's a lot of things you can do to prepare for that. But at the same time, it's not as, you know, dramatic as a lot of people make it out to be. And it's a lot more of a good thing for yourself personally, not even just for relationships, for yourself to grow into who you are. Like I was saying earlier, it's like, that's how you get to know your body and what makes you feel good. And in kind of exploring that confidence in yourself is, it's a really good thing, but you know, don't speed up the process and don't put pressure on yourself to have sex sooner than it needs to happen. And just like, take it easy. When it happens, it'll happen. And it, like we said, it might be a little rough at first, but you'll get to know yourself, what feels good. And once you go there, there's no going back.
No going back. Absolutely not. Yeah, I think that's super good advice. I love it. That's perfect. But
that is perfect.
It's perfect. But yeah, nobody, I mean, if you want to like address it, you can, but I don't think anyone would really, it just depends on the situation. Like if it's like a really intimate thing, like, I don't know if you're in a relationship and you're like, hey, this is my first time, whatever. But it's just up to you. If you want to just fucking lose it and not say anything, get it over and done with and then move on. Like, but it's not a big deal. I really don't think it's a big deal. Everyone's on their own timeline.
And right. There's so many virgins out there that are of varying ages. And it's just about what you're comfortable with. What's going to make you feel good when you leave whoever's house or whoever leaves your house and you're alone and you're like, all right. That was great. I'm excited for, let's do it again. Or you're feeling like shit. So just, you know, contemplate those situations and I don't know, but exciting things.
Okay. I got another one that this kind of like revolves around the confidence and like feeling comfortable with having sex. Okay. Hi, Heaney. I'm on the younger side as I'm still in high school, but I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for almost a year now. We haven't gone very far, mostly because I wasn't ready to do anything and wanted to go slow, which he's always been very respectful of, and also because half of our relationship has been over quarantine. There have been two times where we've been able to see each other normally since quarantine started, and let me just say, after 5 months of being 6 feet apart, things got a little spicy. But the issue is, whenever I go a bit farther with him, even though I feel comfortable and ready, I always feel so gross and disgusted with myself afterwards. I feel dirty and ashamed of myself, and it's really hard for me to get that out of my head. It's like I have two sides. Half of me wants to be confident in myself, sexy, free, a bad bitch, and have a good time with my boyfriend, while the other half of me wants to stay innocent, classy, and just the same old me. I know this is partially to do with the whole stigma around girls losing their virginity and becoming unpure or deflowered, which is so stupid. I think this half of me that wants to be adventurous with my boyfriend is just very not like me, and so it's scary that things are changing, but I guess also a part of growing up, But it's also like almost like I get frustrated and disappointed with myself for getting swept up in the moment and going farther with him. I just wish I didn't feel so guilty or dirty afterwards. And I'm not sure if you have ever had a similar experience, but I was wondering if you have any advice. Sorry this is so long, but thank you for taking the time to read it. Sending you lots of good vibes and endless love.
That is so sweet. First my of heart. All, my heart. Oh my goodness. I can totally relate with that. First off, like, I think that there's a lot of contributing factors to feeling shameful around sex. There's a lot of things that make women kind of second guess. Is this what we're supposed to be doing? Does this make us, I don't know, more promiscuous or whatever it may be? I can totally relate with that because, like I said, I grew up in a really conservative family and it made it feel like it was so wrong every single time. But I slowly started to learn, like, no, this makes me feel good. Like, I enjoy this. I enjoy exploring this part of my inner being and my sexuality. And I think as long as it's making you feel good and you're leaving feeling satisfied and kind of confident in yourself, then keep going with that and don't give a fuck what anyone else says.
Yeah, exactly.
What the world says. And so, I don't know. It's a really weird concept to get around. But... I would just go base it off of how you feel because there's so many different ideas towards sex and it really comes down to what's going to make you feel good and you confident in yourself, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's all that matters. I really think, like you were saying, you want to feel like a bad bitch and you've been getting into it, and in the moment you're like loving it, but then after, like, that's you in the moment. Like, that's how you feel in the moment. And then after, that's like everything that like society and the world is putting on you. Like, that's not necessarily you, you know? Like, that's just what all this pressure is coming mm-hmm. onto you, if that makes sense. But yeah, I really just think you have to kind of, honestly, journaling about this would be really good. Like, I feel like breaking down, like asking yourself, why do I feel like this? Like, what is causing me to feel like this? What is the root of this? Like, where did I learn that sex is bad, or like sex is something that's like impure or whatever? Like, getting to the bottom of it and journaling about it would be really helpful, because that's like a real thing that'll be, if you were raised in a way to believe that sex is like, you know, something to be kept for marriage, and if not, you're like impure or whatever. That's like a real thing that you have to get over or get through, and that's going to be ingrained in you. So that's like a serious thing that you're going to have to get through. But I definitely think it's worth it. And it, like Kristen said, it just all depends on what makes you feel good and what you're comfortable with. And nothing else fucking matters. Like, if that could be the gist of my whole podcast, is like, do what, work on
do
yourself.
Whatever makes you feel good, bitch.
What just makes you feel
own
good,
your
bitch.
Body and do it.
Exactly.
And yeah, for sure. Journal about it. Think about it. Take some time to yourself to realize, okay, mm-hmm. what makes me feel good in a sexual setting and what doesn't make me feel good? What makes me nervous? And, you know, second guess this whole situation. I think, you know, each to their own, but don't worry about kind of the ideas that surround sex in this world, because there's so many of them. It really just comes down to what's going to make you feel good at the end of the day.
Okay, this is a good one. Next question. Hi, Rohini. Loving your podcast so much. I've listened to every episode and out here loving the good vibes and positive energy. Okay, since there's really no good segue here, we're just going to go straight into this TMI question. Haha. I'm wondering what to do if you struggle to orgasm with only your hands. Context. I had my quote-quote sexual awakening, if you will, at age 20 and learned how to masturbate with a vibrator. But now I seriously don't know how to live without it. I'm trying to figure this out mostly because I've never been able to orgasm with my partner. It's been 3 years, and I'm guessing it has something to do with the fact that I can't even figure out how to do it with my own two hands, much less with someone else's. By the way, he's super supportive and down to try anything for me to get there, but I just don't even know how to instruct him, lol. Any help is appreciated. Thank you. Okay. Love a supportive man, first of all.
First of all, let's just take a moment of silence to appreciate that man.
Seriously. I've been reading this book by Alyssa Vitti. I think it's called Woman Code. And she has a whole chapter on why, like, women pleasuring themselves just with their, like, fingers is actually really good for their health. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, just check out her books. But she talks about why, like, vibrators are amazing and honestly gift from the gods, but it's a different, like, process, chemical process or something, because it happens so fast that it's just a different thing. So, like, learning how to pleasure yourself just with, like, your fingers is like a whole nother thing that is very good to do, because it helps. I don't fucking know. Yeah. I can never quote anything, but it's like, it releases certain, I can never remember quotes or like facts, but it releases certain chemicals that don't happen if you use a vibrator, because it happens too fast with a vibrator, mm-hmm. basically.
I have heard a lot of people that are against vibrators, are against sex toys, because it's such an unnatural feeling and an unnatural kind of like situation that you can't replicate that in real life, in real time. And so it creates this kind of stigma around what sex should feel like or what it should be when a guy is going down on you. It's not real. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen from a machine versus this motherfucker's mouth. Like, it's not going to be the same. It's not. So a lot of the times people are like, stay away from the vibrators and the sex toys and that whole world, and focus on like pleasuring yourself with your hands and teaching, you know, working with your partner to kind of like pleasure yourself and figure out what that means for you and what feels best. And I don't know, I would just stray away from the toys and focus more on like, what are you capable with your hands, and like, what is your partner capable of? And I would explore that more so than relying on the toys to make you feel good.
Yeah, that's like the, but I definitely also am glad that you even had your sexual awakening and that came like with the vibrator.
Totally.
Like, whatever's going to get you there, that's amazing.
Whatever's going to get you there, I'm here for it.
We're all for it.
You gotta get a head start on that shit.
Okay, also in the first podcast episode, if you guys haven't listened, I'm like referring back to that one. But there's a book called 4-Hour Body. Oh my God.
I still need to listen to that.
Why am I forgetting his fucking name? Tim Ferriss. God damn it.
He's
so famous. Why am I forgetting his name? 4-Hour Body with Tim Ferriss. There's a chapter on the female orgasm. I posted it on my podcast Instagram before. Literally type in 4-Hour Body female orgasm. It'll pop up on Google. But that is what Sage read, and after that, the orgasms were constant.
Sage read it?
Sage
Iconic.
Read it. Because
he had
that book, and he was just reading it for, like, other, like, they have chapters on health and fitness and everything, and then there happened to be a female orgasm chapter. God bless Tim Ferriss for working that in. Like, seriously.
Tim, my man.
The females that he has helped by putting that chapter in. But
that's amazing.
It just breaks it down. Truly, it breaks it down how to, and it also says like how to pleasure yourself if you're a woman, but it breaks it down what guys need to do to get you off with just their hands or whatever. Since Sage read that, I swear to God, guys, every time I orgasm, every single time. And if I don't, I literally will ask. I'm like, the other night, literally, we had great sex, but I was just laying there and I was like, I have blue balls. Like, I literally said, I'm like, I have blue balls. You need to get back here. And it just, that's just how it has to happen. Like, sometimes we need to get off. But anyway, look that up. And then the Alyssa Vitti book talks about why it's good for women to use their hands to pleasure themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard. Okay, so this is a personal story. Because like I said, I have my mod vibrator that just sits in the shower. It's there when I need her. She's like my trusty steed. I love her. I know a lot of you guys have also bought that vibrator. It actually sold out. So I don't know if it's back in stock now, but it's amazing. Anyway, I definitely would rely on that in my own like pleasure, whatever. I hadn't like fingered myself or anything probably since early high school. Like I don't know. I hadn't done it in a while.
Hmm.
And then
okay,
a little bit ago, I read that chapter and I was like, huh, I wonder if I can even do this, because when Sage does it, it feels 10 times better than when I do it. And I was alone. Anyway, you have to get into it. You gotta like try to be as relaxed as possible, like after meditation or something, like super relaxed. That's why the shower is great, because you're naturally really relaxed in the shower.
Relaxation is everything. Totally.
Relaxation is everything. And like just start slow, like I don't even know how to describe it. I guess I should just link the books and the things that I read, because it is super important, and I think it's something that you should learn to do as a woman. And like we said before, like learning how to pleasure yourself is like what gives you the authority to like ask for it in the bedroom with a guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or a girl.
Totally.
With a partner. So yeah, I definitely think you should get to know yourself in that way. There's definitely lots of tips, like literally type in anything on Google and I'm sure there's a million tips on how you could like get yourself off, but just go slow, be gentle, be relaxed. Whatever. Also, be patient. Be patient.
Be patient. I think it's a lot easier for guys to come than it is for girls, I will say. I don't know why that is. I don't know the science behind it. I'm not a fucking doctor, but I think it's true. Because I, most frequently, it's like the guy's getting off and I'm kind of like, all right, that felt amazing, but like, here I am.
I'm out
don't
here.
Don't have shit to show. Yeah, exactly. So... don't put pressure on yourself. That pressure will eat you alive and will make you
kind of,
like, tense up and just be worried about the outcomes so much more.
Exactly. You have to get out of your head, which is so hard. It's so hard.
Totally.
It is so
just
hard.
Enjoy
and honestly, my mantra lately, when I've been getting in my head or whatever, it's literally like, you deserve this. That's what I'll like say. Like, you fucking deserve this.
100%.
That's what I'll say 100%. In my head over and over, and be it from like, say it from like a really hot, like hot ass, confident ass bitch. Like, you fucking deserve this, bitch. Like, you just had that great sex. You see how much pleasure he had from coming. Like, you deserve this. Like, sit back, relax, like, and enjoy.
Exactly.
Enjoy the ride. Exactly.
Like I said, it's just as much about you as it is him, but don't mm-hmm. feel pressure. Like, as long as you're feeling good. Because a lot of the times, like, obviously he'll come and I won't, and it'll still be great and a good experience. And I'll be like, that's fine. I'm totally cool with this. And,
yeah,
you know, move on. Next.
Yeah, exactly. It just depends. Sometimes I'm like, that was great. Really, I don't need anything more. And sometimes I'm like, I need to fucking come get back here.
Just don't be afraid to ask for what you need. Don't be afraid to vocalize those needs, because guys think that's hot.
Exactly.
When you like direct them, when you grab their hand and like guys show them what feels good, they love that shit. So
confidence going is like number one in the bedroom. And literally, like they say on Pinterest or Twitter or whatever, fake it till you make it. If you have to fake the confidence in the bedroom to get off, like, then do it.
Then do it. Exactly. It will lend itself really positively, I think. Mm-hmm. So
yes, but yeah, definitely experiment. Get comfortable with yourself.
Yeah, I think that's the theme here. It's just like, know what you want, know what feels mm-hmm. good. That's gonna really turn out.
That's the theme. Any young girls listening, like, that is the theme of having a great sex life.
As
like,
weird as it is, you just gotta go for it. Figure it out.
Heaney and Kristen, your girl needs some help. My boyfriend of 3 years is now living in another state, and we've been doing long distance. We're planning to see each other in November for Thanksgiving break, and so we're gonna get it on as much as possible, but he wants to try anal ... again. So technically we've done it twice, but I chickened out the first time, so he only counts the second time. And he says it was fine and everything felt good, but let's just say the worst case scenario happened and it got real. Shit emoji.
Oh,
TMI, I know, but now I'm kind of scared. I don't want to do it, and I like the feeling, but I feel like I have PTSD about it. Should I drink to relax and loosen up, buy new lube and condoms, get some cute assless panties? Any suggestions to help me out to feel better? Also, any suggestions regarding anal in general?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, you're right. You can speak to this a lot more than I can, but coming from like a beginner's perspective, get a few cocktails under your belt, honey. That will save lives. That will save lives. That's all there is to it. I think just, you know, yep. You've got to relax. And I'll leave the rest to you, because I haven't been there yet, but I'm anticipating the day.
Would you ever? That's very anti-Virgo.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, you would?
For sure. Yes, I would. It is anti-Virgo. I'll take like 12 showers before and after.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But, I mean, I don't know if I'm into it. I know the guy, like my boyfriend of 7 years, was always asking me for it. And I was like, listen, sir.
Listen, buddy.
When we're married, maybe. When I'm like 45, I just wasn't ready for it. Yeah, exactly. But sometimes when I would have a few drinks, I would be more open to it. It just seems like a less intimidating. Mm-hmm. So that would be my number one tip as a beginner, because I just know where my head is at. But you tell me from what you've experienced, like, what makes it just an easier time?
Literally a few drinks. That is the key. Every time I've ever had a good time with anal, it's because I've had a few drinks.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, it loosens you up, and it's like kinky. It's super kinky. It feels very kinky. So like, having a few drinks under my belt, I'm like, oh, bad bitch. Like, let's do this.
We can do anything.
Yeah.
Here we fucking go. Does he go all the way in? I'm nervous. Like, I have questions.
Yes.
Like, I want to know.
I know, all the way in. But I will say my biggest tip is for you to be on top. That's my biggest tip.
Really?
That is the only way it's going to feel good, because if it's like doggy style, that shit hurts so bad.
Oh my
God. The first couple times we tried it was, and I was like, I can't. I don't see why. Because I heard a couple of my friends. I've heard a couple of my friends like, it's so good. Like, I love it. And I'm like, what the fuck, bitch? This hurts so bad. So yeah, you be on top. That's going to feel good, actually. It does feel good. And the last time was on our honeymoon. after we had been spicy wine tasting all day. I was trashed. We were in the jacuzzi tub.
Yes.
I told this story last time.
We were
in the jacuzzi tub with the jets on. I was like, let me hop on this dick.
Here I go. What do you
want? Here I go.
It's yours.
Seriously. But yeah, actually though, if you do drink and you're down for that, that really helps. And obviously lube, like if you're, that just helps everything. But, or if you're having regular sex, like super sloppy, like, I don't know, spitting on the dick, whatever you need to do.
There we go.
That'll help a lot. And assless panties, like, I'm always down for that.
Oh my gosh. That's a non-negotiable.
Need some of those.
Let it rip. Yes. No, do it.
But I would say, because you had some like PTSD, and at least you're not like against it because you said you were fine with it and it felt good or whatever.
Well, what do you think about the whole poop emoji situation? Because that's a whole nother part of it that I'm like, that's the one thing that scared me off. I'm like, I, especially as a Virgo, I'm like, nuh-uh, I'm not going there.
Absolutely not. Yeah. the first time, I don't know if I told this story last time on the podcast, but the first time we ever did it was in the yurt on Woodby at his mom's house in the yurt, and he came in my ass. Which I was not ready for. And there's no toilet out there. There's just a composting toilet, which is like a not, it's not a real toilet. And there was no toilet paper. So I literally, it was a nightmare. It was a massacre scene coming out of my asshole. It was terrible. So that's real. I honestly feel like I would have to ask Sage for like the poop emoji situation. But I think it's kind of normal in a way. Like I feel like the lights are dimmed. You're not really paying attention. Or if you did it in the bathtub, like, that's a good, easy fix. Makes things clean.
Totally, yeah.
But I think it's just kind of comes with the territory. Shower. Like, they know, I don't know. I don't really know. I know some people, like, I've heard from my gay friends that you, like, there's certain laxatives and things you take before to make sure it's, like, all cleared out. But in the moment, I don't know how practical that is, so... I don't know. I think it seems like you're comfortable with this guy and you've probably already had the worst case scenario, sounds like. So
exactly.
It can only go up from here.
It can only get better.
A couple cocktails in, like ride that D, you're fine. It's going to be fine. And I will say why riding is so good is because your clit is going to be rubbing on him the whole time.
Ooh. Okay. So I like that. All right.
It works.
Liquid courage, honestly.
Liquid courage.
That's the best policy.
Chris, okay, but Kristen and I are like the spokeswomen of liquid courage. Okay, wait, this is a good last one to end it out on. Kristen has a dick appointment.
Oh gosh, I knew you were going to go here.
Kristen has a dick appointment with a guy who has a huge penis, and we would all like to applaud her for that. We're very excited and happy for her during this time.
During this time, we're mostly excited. We're working through it.
Would you like to talk about that for a second?
I mean, listen, it's not ideal because it's a lot to handle.
As she would say.
It's massive. So, you know, we're exploring what that means. We got to bring out the coconut oil. We got to bring out the accessories.
I'm fucking dead.
We need help there.
We need help.
It's great.
It's wide and also long, which...
Right.
It's a lot.
Like, no mercy. No. So we're...
Oh, my God.
It's a great time. I mean, we kind of were chatting through what that means, you and me, Ro, mm-hmm, and
yeah.
We were like, he's so sweet. He's so cute. He's a little lake boy, a little adventure boy, but he's got a massive dick. So
softy boy with a huge dick.
Softy boy with a huge dick. And is that husband material? I don't know. Because am I committed to that massive dick for the rest of my life? I'm not sure. But I don't really know what to do with that.
I kept saying, like, isn't that a good thing? Like having a huge dick, like Sage's very well endowed, I will say, and it's honestly a big plus. It's a big bonus. But like she was saying, it's like wide that she can't even fit it in her mouth. Like it's like too wide and too
it's
big.
Wide,
it's just massive.
It's big. It's a lot to handle. Like for certain things, you know.
Yeah.
Of course, like
in the mouth.
in the mouth, it's just, that's the most dramatic aspect. Yeah. Yeah. Everything else is fine. It's great. But you gotta, you know, it's gotta be a well-rounded kind of situation.
But we're happy for Kristen.
We are.
Honestly, love that for her.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we're drinking and we've been talking about sex for a while now. Like, and then your man's gonna come over immediately after the dick appointment. Like, are you kidding me? Please let me know how the sex is after this. You're like, I just learned about this. Like, let's try this. Like, let me hop on.
So I've been talking about sex for like a good 2 hours.
So
what do you think?
Oh my gosh. Okay, last question just to wrap it up. It's really cute and wholesome in a way, and I just liked it. So, hi, Rohini. First of all, I love you and your podcast so much. I've been following you for years. Anyway, my friends and I have been completely baffled trying to figure out what the actual fuck the girl is supposed to do when she's on the bottom, LOL. Not trying to be a dead fish, you know, but like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Hope you can give us some clarity on this topic. Love you. I like this because it's pretty straightforward. Like, I felt like I could
sum it up. I love this. I love this.
What are your tips?
So, for being on top, right?
No, bottom. So you don't look like a dead fish, basically, is what she's saying.
So, I would just... You got to talk a little dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Vocals are everything.
Yes.
Moan a little. That's hot.
Yeah, always.
Bite the lip. I don't know. Like, make sure your body language is correct, because obviously you're not doing much with, like, I don't know. Like, put your legs around his back, like, kind of like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little straddle, crisscross.
A little straddle situation. They love that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just seem like you're into it. Don't seem like you're snoozing.
Don't check
on
out. Yeah, don't check
like,
out.
You're not taking a nap while this is happening. Like, make sure you're into it and getting excited as much as like you're laying there. It's, I don't know. He's loving it. As long as you look like you're into it and the facial expressions, whatever.
Exactly.
Grab his face, little makeout. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, grab his face, grab his hair. That's my favorite.
Oh, the hair for
pull
sure.
Pull the hair back, claw the back. My favorite. Claw the back. I'm like, I don't know.
Claw the back.
That just comes out. I don't know. Claw the back. Like, also, you can get kind of into it, too. Like, you can, you know, respond or whatever with your hips. But
for sure.
Yeah, like she said, moaning, grabbing his head, kissing his neck, biting his ear.
Right. Like, grab his face, bring him closer.
Dirty talk. Just saying that you like it, like it's feeling good. That's really all you need. Just to let them know that you're in the moment, you're there too. That's all you really need.
I agree. All the way. I think as long as you look like you're into it and you're using your legs and your hands that are mobile, obviously, and your face. Yeah.
Unless you're tied up.
Ooh. Unless you're tied up, that's a different story. But get into it. I mean, don't feel bad that you're on the bottom. He loves to like probably dominate you and be in that position. So just embrace it and enjoy it.
My favorite is a good old straight up missionary, but like literally you guys are both completely flat and like, just so intimate, like literally so deep. Like just, I don't even know how to describe it. You guys are both flat. He's going so deep. It's so good. You're clutching
That's
his back,
good
grabbing
position.
His head. Yep. It's so good. I don't know why missionary gets so much shit in that way. It's literally chef's kiss, that and doggy style.
Chef's kiss to that one.
Doggy style is the ultimate, but other than that, what a good way to end it out, honestly.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Just the classics.
The classic. There are literally probably like 15 more questions but it's too hard. So we need to do a part four. That's all there is to it.
We need to do a part four because I feel like we're just getting into it. There's so much.
But the massive dick awaits.
The massive dick awaits.
We can't.
He's probably outside
right now. We can't keep the massive dick waiting.
We cannot. I think we do a part four. We have a little update. Let us know kind of how these questions, these situations panned out. I want an update.
I want an update. I also want an update. I thought you meant like update for how your sex life is going to go tonight. I'm like,
oh,
yes,
well,
please.
That too, of course.
I want an update.
Let me know.
So. Let me fucking know, Scorpio man. Let me know. Okay.
Oh my God.
Well, thank you for sending in the questions. Sorry we couldn't get to all of them, but such is life. It's already been over an hour and 20 minutes, but we could talk about sex forever. So I guess we just need to do another one.
Yeah,
and let's do it. Thank you so much, Kristen, for being on. I knew you'd be a fucking natural.
Thank you for having
me. The people are going to love you. It's just literally my twin flame. Like, everything you say, I'm like, that's exactly what I would say. Like, it's just perfect. It's so good.
We could go on forever and ever.
We really could.
We need to put a stop to this before it
seriously
takes off.
We could go all night. Yeah. But, okay, thanks, Kristen. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Love you.
Love you lots. Bye, guys.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that amazing, slightly scandalous, very tipsy episode with Kristen. I had so much fun recording it. She's such a gem, and I could not agree more with all of the advice she was sharing. And sorry we didn't get to more questions, but as it is, we talked for like an hour and 20 minutes, so hopefully you guys got some good insight from the episode, and we will definitely be doing another sex talk you never had, part 4, part 5. I'm just going to keep doing them because people have a lot of questions, and I want to keep talking about it and sharing my experiences and bringing on my cool lady friends to share theirs and all of that. So if you like this episode, make sure to leave a review and rating on Apple Podcasts. Really helps get the word out about the podcast, and I just really appreciate it. So thank you so much if you do that. And also make sure to follow us on Instagram, Acting My Age Podcast, so you can figure out and find out when I'm asking for more submissions, because I basically only post it on that Instagram. So if you're not following, then you will probably miss the chance to send in a story for a future episode. So with that being said, I hope you guys all have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in to Acting My Age with me, Rohini Elise. See you next week.